Chag Sameach. Passover is the most widely celebrated Jewish holiday. Every time there's a survey, it shows that more people attend seders with family and friends than celebrate any other Jewish holiday. It makes sense. It's a home-based ritual with a lot of traditions that are easily observed with your family. And the message of the holiday is timeless and universal. Moving from slavery to freedom, from degradation to dignity, and from oppression to self-agency. Each year we read the same story, and yet we find new connections and new meanings. In addition to all the rituals and traditions we observe, there are also many foods that are ritually or symbolically connected to the holiday. From the foods that we put on the Seder plate, like the charoset and the maror, to the foods that are commonly part of the Seder dinner, like brisket and chicken soup, many of the foods are flavorful and rich. And then there's the matzah. Flat, crispy, tasteless. So I have a confession. I hate matzah. Some people agree with me. It's novel and new on Seder night. It's nice the first night or two, but by the fourth or fifth day of Passover, I'm done. Instead, I do everything I can to avoid matzah. I eat eggs, fruit, meat, cheese, and all of those things they call dessert. But I avoid the plain and the tasteless matzah. There's only two ways that matzah is worth eating. Covered in chocolate, because, you know, what's not good covered in chocolate? Or soaked in egg and made into matzah brei. Other than that, it's the 11th plague. So I've often been asked, but Rabbi, you're a rabbi. How can you hate matzah? Well, just because I love Judaism and working in a synagogue doesn't mean I have to like matzah. By the way, don't fire me, but I don't like lox either. It does, however, mean that I appreciate the symbolism of the food. And in fact, I think its taste, or lack thereof, actually fits the meaning. It is, after all, our bread of affliction. Other than being tasteless and afflicting our digestive tract, matzah is called the bread of affliction because it reminds us of our enslavement. As we read each year, when Pharaoh finally decides to let us go, we don't take a chance that he might change his mind again. We grab everything and we get out of there as fast as possible, which means we don't have time to let the bread rise. We took the half-baked bread and bolted. In honor of our hasty exodus, the whole process of making matzah must be completed in 18 minutes or less to avoid anything fermenting and rising. The hastiness is what leads to its tastelessness. But all of this makes sense. But if the matzah is the bread that we ate in the first few days of our freedom, shouldn't it also be the bread of our freedom? After all, it was only because we were allowed to leave Egypt that we had to interrupt the baking process. If we hadn't been let go, we might still be slaves, but our bread would be tasty. By this analogy, matzah is not only our bread of affliction, but also our bread of freedom. So shouldn't it have a little bit of taste? Can't it still be cardboard with a little bit of zest? Why the blandness? Maybe it has to do with the other symbolic meaning of the matzah, that in order to reach freedom, we had to rush. Thus, matzah can be seen as the symbolic result of rushing through our lives. When we race through our lives focused only on the destination, we forget about the journey, and we miss the tasty details of life. When our days are filled with going from one appointment to the next, picking up one child only to bring the next one to their next appointment, we still experience life, but do we really get a chance to appreciate each of the ingredients and flavors that it has to offer? And not only do we move through each day without a moment to breathe, but sometimes we find we have moved so quickly from one stage to the next that all we got was the smallest taste of the before we move on to the next stage. As a child, we look forward to being 16 so we can drive, only to want to be 18 and have the freedom of college, only to want to be 21 to be able to go to the good parties. Too often, we are so focused on looking at the next stage that we forget to see the beauty and the bounty that is present in the present. We are constantly rushing through our lives, eager for what we hope is coming next, and we miss the flavors and the uniqueness of the present day. Think about the saying, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Think back to this week. With spring finally in the air, not today. Did we notice the blooming flowers? Did we notice the cherry blossoms in full bloom around the city? What about the warm sun that's been shining down on us for part of this week? Did we take time to ask a friend or a loved one how they're doing and actually listen to their response? It takes only a few moments to stop, to notice and appreciate the world around us. But when we are rushed, we often forget or feel we don't even have those few minutes to spare. When we are so focused on going from one event to the next, we often miss the beauty in the in-between. What about this coming week? Where can we build in a few moments to relax and enjoy the beauty of life? When we rush through our days, our weeks, and our life, we find we only have time to ingest the tasteless, dried up bits of matzah, rather than enjoying the full sweetness and the beauty of a fresh baked loaf of bread. Like so many of our faults, we learn from the best, our biblical ancestors. Moses, in his haste to get water for the complaining Israelites in the desert, hits the rock rather than taking time to speak to it as God had commanded. David, in his haste to flee King Saul, who is pursuing him, runs straight into the city of Gath, realizing too late that it was the hometown of Goliath who he had just slain. But thankfully, in this case, we can also look to those same ancestors for the example of the right behavior. Our sages remind us that it was only after Moses stopped to truly see the burning bush that he realized that it was on fire and yet not being consumed by the flame. It would have been easy for him to see a bush on fire and continue walking, but instead he took a few moments to watch nature and appreciate life. Only then did he notice something unusual and holy. So too we see with King David when he finally takes a moment to value and appreciate life. And at another point where King Saul is again pursuing him, he's hiding in a cave. When Saul enters, David is in a position to kill him, but decides to restrain himself, knowing that at this point, King Saul is still God's chosen king. In this instance, David chose to honor life, even though it meant taking longer to attain his goal of becoming king. Like so many of us, our biblical characters at times find themselves rushing through life towards their next goal, missing everything along the way. But at other times, we allow ourselves to take full advantage of life and all that it has to offer in one moment to the next. When we rush through life, matzah is truly our bread of affliction, tasteless, boring, and heavy. But when we learn to savor each moment, then our matzah can truly transform into the bread of freedom, sweet, tasty, and fulfilling. So let us remember to savor where we are today, treating it like the gift that it is, and not simply seeing it as a step to our next destination. Shabbat Shalom and Chag Sameach.